You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, while people start out with good intentions and set their sights on meeting various financial goals, many never achieve them and instead fail miserably. Today, Lulu Ncube is going to speak to us about some of our cognitive financial biases and how they can derail us from achieving our financial goals. And I believe Lulu is already on the line. Good evening, ma'am.
Hi, Tavela. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. And how are you?
I am well. I cannot complain.
Thank you. Fantastic. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Your day?
My day was extremely busy. I was in meetings the whole day, but I must say it was also quite productive.
You know, those things called meetings can be draining at times.
Yeah, true.
But we survive them somehow, eh?
Yeah, we do. It's the story of our lives.
Story of our lives, indeed. Thank you so much. Yeah. For people who didn't tune in the last time, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Lulu. I go by the name Lulu. That's my nickname. But my official name is Lulu Ncube.
Yeah.
I am passionate about personal finances.
Yeah.
I am a chartered accountant by profession, also a registered auditor. And I serve in various spaces, whether it's boards or, you know, working with companies that also deal with financial management. So basically, that's just me in a nutshell. And I also work for the church organization. So I have a good sneak peek there of how, you know, finances according to working policies should be managed. So that's also a great passion of mine.
Fantastic. I know you've got also a Facebook page as well. Where can they follow you?
I do. It's called the Financial Tips Corner. So you can follow me on Facebook. And we're seeking to expand to other social media platforms like our Instagrams as well as our YouTube. So, yeah, we do have financial tips. You know, we try to keep them short because we realize that the attention span of people, you know, when you're bombarded with so much, you know, around you, it's really limited. So, you know, you have these 10-minute videos that just help to give you some tips on how to manage your finances from a practical standpoint without trying to keep it theoretical.
True. And often there's a difference between that practical and theoretical thing, because I do think that theoretically a lot of us get it, but practically it's almost like a pandemic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Practically, yes.
It is.
The theory and the practical element.
Yeah, true. It is a pandemic indeed. You're talking about financial biases. Can we even start first by defining that? What's a financial bias?
Okay, sure. A financial bias, essentially, let me just use an example. Have you ever felt guilty after the holidays? You know, we know that the festive season is around the
corner.
You know, it's the time of the year when we start with New Year's resolutions. But then have you ever felt guilty, you know, after the holidays, when you think about all the things that you bought that you hadn't planned for, that you actually didn't need? Or have you ever been tempted to buy something that was promising to solve all your money problems, you know, entering into the new year, probably that was beginning of the year, you thought you're going to be a millionaire if you invested in this thing, but it didn't work out like that. And that's what I would like to then.
Okay, seems like we've lost Ululu there a little bit. We're going to just try and get her on a different line while we're trying to sort that one out. Are you cool?
So whether it's after the holidays, you've got stuff that you had budgeted for, or, you know, you've entered into this seemingly lucrative deal that was promising to solve all your money problems, but not that way. Well, I was about to say, welcome to the world of biases.
Yeah.
You know, when your mind sort of tricks you into spending money, and, you know, we often hear of you know, the choices that we make, you know, the stories that we hear, and even how we think about our purchases, they are all influenced by sneaky tricks in our minds. You know, it's like having a guide that leads us to spend money without even realizing. And that's literally what cognitive biases are. The last time I spoke about the 10 financial sins that many of us are not wary of, that we, you know, we find ourselves trapped in. And we also have what we call these biases.
Yeah.
You know, and for somebody who would want to understand it from a more religious perspective, in summary, if I'm to quote 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So this is just a simple understanding that there's these temptations that happen in our minds, and people struggle with them. You know, it could be a struggle where you are overspending. You love to overspend during the festive holidays. You know, you have the feeling of temptation to buy extravagant gifts beyond your budget, and it leads you to financial stress. But then if you recall this verse that I just read, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it reminds you that you still have the strength to resist all temptation. You know, instead of choosing to follow and fall for these temptations, you can choose to create a budget, prioritize your spending, and seek affordable gift options, and then ultimately result in you avoiding these financial strains. So these are the temptations that we're talking about.
Yeah.
The desires of the heart, as you would like to call them, these are the cognitive biases. But I will present them in a more practical manner. And I'm sure each and every one of us is going to identify some of the biases that are more prevalent in our lives and how we can avoid them.
Yeah, okay. That's really interesting. I want to get into those. What kinds of biases then exist out there, especially when it comes to this finances thing?
Sure. You have the types like the survivorship bias, the placebo effect, the selective perception, outcome bias. We also have the status pressure, you know, chasing trends. I'm going to present nine of them. You know, the list is inexhaustive, but I've just grouped them into these nine biases that I feel are more relevant to all of us entering into the festive season.
Okay. And before we even get into those nine, what informs these biases? In other words, where do they come from? Is it a case of where I grew up and how I was taught about money during my younger days, or it maybe spells from my friends and the company that I keep? Where do these biases come from? It's almost like they creep up on us.
So it is all those factors, Abelo. It's your surroundings. It could be the influences of your family, your friends. It could be the statuses that you're chasing. So they could, when you say they are cognitive, obviously they are, it's a mind game that we're talking about. But they're influenced by so many factors. And as I define them, you will realize what's actually influencing them.
I'm actually sitting here with a pen. I'm thinking, I wonder which one, you know, I'm more relating to. I'm very much interested myself. Okay, let's go. Number one, which one is those?
So let's start with the famous one. Number one that I call status pressure.
You know, status
pressure. So in layman terms, if I'm to use isiZulu or Ndebele, we'll call it abantu bazothini bias, or what will they say, or ngizababonisa. I'm going to show them.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it's like when we are heading into this festive season, it's like someone turns on our spending tabs.
Sure.
And suddenly we are off on a wild shopping spree.
Yeah.
And we forget that there's tomorrow. We forget that there's next year. And January is around the corner, you know. And then when January finally rolls around, we are here scratching our heads, wondering where all our money went. But trust me, you know, it's very easy to get carried away with this festive spending. And it can leave us really pretty broke. So if I'm to give an example of this one, you know, we somehow feel pressured to compete in this gift giving during family gatherings.
Yeah.
Where you end up overspending to match or outdo other people's presents. And there's this pressure to show off and keep up with your family's spending. You know, that kind of status pressure is really not necessary. And some of us, we find that we treat life as if it's a competition. Many times we make the mistake of competing with people who are not even in our lane, or people who are not even bothered to compete with us. You know, and we need to remember that competing with others in terms of, let's say, material possessions, it often doesn't bring long-lasting fulfillment, and it can hinder our ability to reach our own financial goals, you know. And another example that I could give, you could have a desire to impress your friends, by hosting this extravagant New Year's party. Mm. You know, you're spending beyond your financial means, and then you fall under this status pressure bias, and you're driven by the need to display a certain social status through elaborate celebrations. So can you see, you know, the status pressure, abantu bazothini, what is driving it?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's people. It's trying to maintain a certain social status, whether it's your family, with your family or with your friends or at work. But you are spending resources that you don't have, or maybe you may have them, but you're going to need them tomorrow. You haven't thought that tomorrow is coming. And by the time tomorrow hits you, you are in a financial depression. So this one we need to avoid.
Yeah.
And it's why December, festive season, you know, what they'll think doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Mm. You know, stick to your budget. Mm. If you don't have the money, it's fine. Don't be competing in lanes that you don't belong to.
Sure.
And then the second one is another famous one. We call it the chasing trends bias. Hmm? Mm. So this is where people jump on every financial trend. And it also refers to the tendency of individuals investing or allocating their money based on the latest popular or trending investment opportunities without necessarily doing a thorough research or understanding the underlying fundamentals. Okay. So I'm thinking about pyramid schemes that many, many of us have fallen into. You know, it can be a trend. You're chasing a trend. You've been promised that it's going to give you these luring lucrative opportunities. Mm. And we know that when it comes to pyramid schemes, they often promise high returns with minimal effort. And they tend to exploit the human tendency to follow what seems to be popular and successful, you know. There's many, many of us who want to make money very quickly with substantial promise, with profits, but with very, very little effort. Mm. And that's exactly what this trend does. It plays on your mind in that way. It entices you. You know, they have these marketing tactics, this social proof, and they have these persuasive testimonials that attract you. Based on your bias, because they know you want to get rich quick with minimal effort. And then you find that people who are enticed by these promises of easy money, they are drawn to it, believing that they're going to get in on a cutting-edge opportunity, but it works out to their disadvantage. Mm. And you don't want that if you're entering the festive season. You don't want that as you're entering the new year. Don't just follow trends blindly. Mm. Think before you follow anything. And many of us also fall for what we call FOMO. The fear of missing out. We don't want to miss out on anything, so we'd rather just be following every little thing that comes our way. But it's important that we are vigilant and we are skeptical on any investment opportunity that promises exceptionally high returns with minimal risk. You know, some people invest in cryptocurrencies. I'm not saying, you know, to a certain extent, they are a high risk, but do your homework first before you venture into investing in things that you know little about. Mm. But when you conduct a thorough research and you seek advice from reputable financial advisors, you can protect yourself from falling victim into such scams. Mm. So that's the second one, where we just chase trends. You know, we have this fear of missing out and we end up losing out. The third one, I think this one is also a favorite of mine. I'm not saying I'm a victim to it, but it's called the Ostrich bias, or otherwise known as the Ostrich effect. So this is a cognitive bias where individuals avoid or they ignore negative information or potential risks, often by pretending that they don't exist. So it's akin to an ostrich burying its head in the sand to avoid fate. And many of us do that. So in a financial context, right, an ostrich bias can manifest when individuals choose to ignore or downplay their financial problems that they are facing. So somebody might avoid checking their bank statements or delay addressing debt issues or ignore warning signs in their investment portfolio, you know? So let's say, for instance, I have accumulated a substantial credit card debt, but I avoid opening my monthly statements or facing the reality of this financial situation.
Yeah.
And it's as if by doing that, I'm hoping that it's going to fizzle away, you know? And I can, I can continue spending recklessly, you know, or making the minimum payments on this debt, hoping that the problem will somehow resolve itself. But we know that magic doesn't work like, there's no magic like that. It doesn't work like that. And unfortunately, you know, it then manifests itself in a sense that we are consciously avoiding confronting these negative financial situations that will end up catching up with us. And over time, the bias can lead to worsening our financial problems, and we have potential long-term consequences. But had we faced the problem when it arose, we would have prevented this ripple effect of challenges. So we need to be proactive, you know. If you know you have this ostrich bias, confront the financial challenge proactively. Seek advice or assistance if necessary, rather than ignoring and hoping that it's going to go away. As we know, it doesn't go away. We can try to bury it under the carpet. It will resurface at some point. The fourth one is what we call the bandwagon bias. You know, bandwagon is already self-explanatory. So in a financial context, it refers to the tendency of individuals to make investment or financial decisions based on the actions or beliefs of a larger group.
Yeah.
Okay. So rather than, again, doing or conducting your own independent research and analysis. So the second one that I spoke about was following trends. So in this context, what is actually driving it is either it's a popular group, it could be a popular social influencer, you know, who is promoting something. And, you know, it's then driven by a desire to conform to popular opinion or follow the crowd, often leading to decisions that, again, may not be in the individual's best financial interest. And give you an example of this one. Say, for instance, on social media, you have a celebrity who is endorsing a specific product, and it's gaining significant attention or popularity within the online community. And it may be a product, maybe a facial product, and you've been told that it's going to remove all your black spots, it's going to leave you like looking like a yellow bone, you know, with a smaller skin. And you invest in all these products because, well, I mean, it was endorsed by your favorite celebrity, only to realize that it was just another scam because you didn't do the groundwork, you know. Then you've lost money in something that was really, really not worthwhile. So it is important, again, that we do the due diligence before making any financial decisions, regardless of the celebrity who may be endorsing it. Because remember, the celebrities are also being paid to do this. They may not necessarily believe in it. They're just doing it because it's part of the package.
Yeah.
And you are just following blindly. The next one that I would like to focus on is what we call the overconfidence bias. Okay? So with the overconfidence bias, This one we need to guard against, especially in areas where you believe you are an expert or you have the expertise, you know. So you need to avoid the assumption that you know everything. It is fine. You may be an expert in a certain area, but even as you are an expert, you don't know everything about everything, you know. So always remain open to continuous learning and always consider the potential cost of a mistake. And many of us don't count the cost of our mistakes, you know. For example, let's say you've been investing in funds and have experienced a series of successful outcomes. You know, well done. But due to this jack of wins, you might start feeling overly confident in your investment decisions. You know, so now you are not skeptical, you are not cautious, you are just relying on your confidence. And however, it's important to remember that the market is also very unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, even if you have experienced good returns, investors can also make errors in judgment, and it's crucial that you maintain a level-headed approach. Conduct thorough research and consult with financial experts when making especially significant investment decisions. And this will mitigate the risk of overestimating your knowledge and potentially incurring significant losses. Especially in the new year, very wary of being overconfident of your past wins because they may immediately convert into current losses. The sixth one is what we call the survivorship bias. And especially during the peak season, I would say look out for this bias. This one occurs when our attention gravitates towards successful outcomes while ignoring or overlooking failures or non-successful instances. You know, somebody once gave an example. Many times, you know, we like to quote millionaires or billionaires like Bill Gates, you know, like, oh, you know, he's a university dropout, right?
That's so, what they always say.
Exactly. Oh, or Steve Jobs, you know, he was fired from his job, you know, and we like to quote the success part of their stories. And then you run with the success part. Oh, since it's a university dropout, I might as well drop out of university.
Yeah.
ended up a billionaire, you start thinking that you're also going to end up a billionaire now. Let me also use a simpler example, coming back home since, you know, we're entering the festive season. If we only hear about or remember people's luxurious holiday celebrations, the extravagant gifts that they got or that they were giving, you know, and this seemingly carefree spending, we might mistakenly assume that overspending is the norm and always leads to enjoyable, stress-free holidays, you know. But we know that's not the case, you know, because what this bias hides are the financial struggles, like the debt and the stress that many people endure after the festive season due to imprudent spending habits. So by only focusing on the positive experiences and the success stories, you know, we went to Dubai, you know, we went to Mauritius. If you're just going to focus on that and make decisions based on that, you know, you develop a skewed perception and, you know, you fail to acknowledge the financial repercussions that many people face due to excessive spending. So that one is another one that we need to look out for. It's called the survivorship bias. Now, I'll move on to the seventh one. It's called the placebo effect. Okay. And I think over there is also quite self-explanatory. So this one refers to a phenomenon where a perceived improvement or change occurs in a situation or condition due to an individual's belief in a treatment or action, even if the treatment lacks actual therapeutic value. If I believe that drinking water will cure a particular underlying condition that I have, let's say the underlying condition, okay, fine, for a headache, we know it may work. But let's say it's cancer, you know, and I believe all I have to do is drink water. You know, sometimes the placebo effect takes it takes its course in the sense that because the individual believed in it, even though, you know, this remedy didn't actually cure this underlying issue, it didn't actually have this therapeutic value. But because the individual believed in it, you know, somehow the mind plays tricks on you. So during the new year or the festive season, you know, you find that individuals might invest in certain products or, you know, endeavor in certain actions like joining the most expensive gym. So you have this gym membership or, you know, you invest in books, these self-help books. Or financial products, you firmly believe that these alone will radically transform your life or your financial situation. But what is the point of joining a gym? You know, you have a gym membership if you never rock up at the gym.
Exactly.
You know, and you somehow think it's going to solve your health problems, but you never end up in the gym. Or you have this self-help book that you've purchased, you're not reading it, you know, or a financial product, but you're not utilizing it. So essentially, you're just investing in vain, you know. So these investments that lacking the substantial effectiveness or impact, that's what the placebo effect does. It tricks us into feeling a sense of progress or improvement only based on our belief in these actions or products, but often without making necessary lifestyle changes or sound financial decisions. So, you know, follow it through. You know, just don't just invest, put it aside and hope that it's going to change your life. It doesn't work like that. And then the eighth one, that's the second of last that I'm going to deal with, is what we call selective perception. So selective perception is almost similar also to the survivorship one. So selective perception occurs when individuals, you tend to pay attention to and remember information that aligns with your pre-existing beliefs or your values or your expectations while disregarding or downplaying contradictory information. You see, when you've bought into something, you know, and when you have convinced yourself this is the way to your righteousness, this is the way to your financial freedom, you don't want to hear any negative information around the situation. And so you have these post-holiday sale promotions that often emphasize these discounts, you know, these offers and the idea of a fresh start for the new year. But however, if you're not going to be focusing only on these positive aspects without considering the limitations or potential drawbacks, you might fall victim to selective perception. So this bias could lead us to make impulsive purchases without fully understanding the actual value or suitability of the items that we've bought. And then we end up regretting, you know, thereafter. So let's be objective. You know, I always say be unemotional when it comes to money. Detach your emotions from it. Because if you follow emotions, your emotions are volatile. Today they are yellow, tomorrow they are brown, tomorrow they are hot, today they are cold, you know, and you end up making regrettable financial decisions. And then the last one is what I call the outcome bias. Okay. So with outcome bias, again, it involves judging situations purely based on their outcomes rather than evaluating the quality of the decision-making process or the available information at the time that the decision was made. So again, going back to the holidays, post-holiday overspending, if individuals regret their purchases only because they led to a financial strain in January, then this bias ignores the context in which those decisions were made. And it overlooks the emotions, the joy, and celebrations experienced during the holidays by just judging the decisions retrospectively based on their outcomes rather than considering the intentions and the information that was available at the time. So I've just lumped them into this nine. So in summary, we've spoken about the avoiding the status pressure. We are not in competition with each other. And many times you find that you're competing with people who they don't really care, you know, and then you are stuck in this debt by yourself. And then the second one that I spoke about was chasing trends. Trends, you know, it's okay. Let things pass you by. That fear of missing out, don't have the fear of missing out. Actually, miss out, you know, and save as opposed to being part of things that will cost you. Then there was the ostrich bias, you know, where we hide our problems in the sand, hoping that they're going to, you know, pass us by, but it doesn't work like that. You need to honor your debt. You need to open those credit card statements, you know, and you need to be intentional about it. The bandwagon bias, I've spoken about that, where we're just following larger groups. You know, we are not thinking for ourselves. We are just following because everybody else is doing it or because our favorite celebrity is endorsing something, you know. And then there was the overconfidence, avoiding overconfidence. You know, you don't know everything about, you know, you don't know everything. You know, there's always room to make mistakes and always count the cost of your mistake. Then the survivorship one as well, you know, where we ignore or overlook the failures and we're just looking at the successful outcomes. The placebo, where something actually lacks the therapeutic value, but because you've believed in it, you think it's going to work for you, to avoid those ones. And then the last two, the selective perception as well as the outcome bias. So if somebody was able to follow through like you did, that was so wise. If you, I'm going to even clap hands for you.
Yes, you I did. I surely did.
You sit there and you're actually doing the work. You're identifying what your biases are. And by being able to identify that, it's very easy to curb those temptations because when they arise, you know, you're aware of them and you can make better financial decisions. You know, when we know, we usually, it says my people perish because of lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge,
But now that you have the knowledge, you know yourself, you're studying yourself, you're studying your weaknesses, you're studying your biases, your natural biases, then you are able to find a modality or a way to avoid them, especially as we're entering this festive season.
I was about to ask, you know, when you look at all these biases, can one have multiple at the same time?
Definitely. I mean, when I was looking at those ones, I think more than two. You know? It's definitely possible. But it doesn't mean that you know, just because it's a bias that you have naturally doesn't mean you're going to remain in that state. No. You know, you can overcome them. You know, we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ that's able to cleanse us and that's able to, you know, work on these temptations. Because not has overtaken you than what is common to men. And God opens the way out of these temptations. You take it to the Lord in prayer, but you need to also be intentional about overcoming. You need to be intentional.
I love that part about God being able to take us away from some of these biases, because I do think that, like, you know, you said a lot of us take more than one or two other biases. So just looking at them, like, yo, this is a pandemic because it's almost eight out of the nine. And I'm like, hey, all of them, I'm ticking. I'm like, hey, I need God to really help me with this one because it's quite a lot. So I'm just now wondering, you know, for instance, are there tools that one can tap into that can help them with these biases? I mean, I know we can pray and that's a good thing, you know, it has its place. But practically, for instance, let's just take the ostrich bias, for instance, where you are avoiding. A lot of us do that. We don't even look at our bank statements because we know it's anginamali anyway. So what's the point of looking at that bank statement or even looking at that whatever from the bank? We have this thing where we just look at what's left. Celine, you know, everything. Okay. Exactly. Okay, I've got two rents nyana or $2. Okay, I live off this. But you know very well that you're not going to change stuff until you look at that bank statement. Are there tools maybe that can help with some of these biases? And I'm just, you know, picking on the ostrich one.
Okay, so essentially, I presented these ones in the negative, yeah, right? I was presenting them as the downsides.
Yeah.
So, you know, you put your head in the sand. You're not checking your bank statement.
Yeah.
So the practical application would be to do the opposite.
The opposite, yeah. Okay, so, okay.
Where I like to bury my head in the sand and act like problems do not exist and act like my debt doesn't exist. Then do the opposite. The opposite is to be intentional about it. The opposite is to check those bank statements. The opposite is to pay your credit card, you know, and realize that problems are not, they don't, you know, it's not like there's a magic wand where they just give them away. No. So, like, you know, the Ten Commandments, when we recite them, thou shalt not kill, you know, we're presenting them in the negative. So essentially, if I'm saying thou shalt not kill, the opposite is what you're supposed to be doing, you know, in Eden. That's the application, that's the practicality. But further to that, I think you also spoke about this one last week, but it was in passing.
Yeah.
The smart goals, you know, make those your friends. And when I talk about smart goals, it's a framework that we use to create a well-defined and achievable objective.
Yeah.
So when you realize that I have a problem on the ground, SMART stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So, for instance, you could increase saving by reducing your monthly expenses, okay? So, you realize that you have this problem of just following trends, you know? You like following celebrities blindly. You just like investing blindly without doing your homework. So, instead of that, start doing the due diligence. Start doing your homework. And when you realize that you have excess cash, right, why don't you actually start increasing your investments? And it's good that you are investing, but also invest wisely.
Yeah.
Also, an example would be to reduce your discretionary spending, say, by 20%.
Yeah.
Let's say you set a timeline and say over the next 6 months, and you create a budget, and you track those expenses using your budget, using your budgetary app. So you're being very specific and you're being very intentional.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, the second one is a measurable goal, right? So, for instance, you realize, okay, fine, I've become a little bit overconfident, you know, and you want to curb that. Let's say, I would say you want to achieve a 10% annual return on your investment portfolio. You know, you may do that by diversifying your investments across different asset classes, monitor the performance monthly, and make necessary adjustments. Okay. So you're being intentional. You're not being, you're not relying on your wisdom, thinking you know it all. No, you know, in this case, you're diversifying because you think you know it all. You probably put all your eggs in one basket. But that's the measurable goal. You are saying, I want to achieve this 10% annual return. So let me diversify into different asset classes. I'm going to monitor their performance. How is it going every month? Am I reaching my target? And if you're not, make the necessary adjustments. And then the third one is setting achievable goals again. Okay. So if you know that you are earning $10,000, you can't come and say, I'm going to start saving $20,000 every month.
Yeah,
because I mean, where's your 20,000 coming from?
Exactly.
I mean, unless you have other side hustles, etc.
Yeah.
So they need to be achievable. Okay, and another one, let's say it's paying off your high interest debt.
Yeah.
So if you know that you have the ostrich bias, okay, you may decide, I want to eliminate 5,000 rands of credit card debt in the next 12 months by allocating an extra 500 rands each month toward my debt repayment through a structured repayment plan. You know, now you're being intentional, you know, and it's an achievable one because you're saying, okay, at the end of the year, I need to have paid off 5,000. So I'm going to do pages every month. I'm going to set aside $500 to reach that goal.
Yeah.
And that way you're curbing this ostrich bias. You're not putting your head in the sand, but you're actually facing the problem, you know, head on. The other part of it is being relevant. Again, let's say you want to increase your emergency fund saving. You know, you save in now 3 months worth of living expenses in the emergency fund. Let's say within the next 18 months to provide a safety net in case of unexpected financial challenges. So you see, you are being intentional about these things. And then the last one is time bound. Okay. Your goals need to be time bound. They cannot be infinite goals, you know, till kingdom come. So you save for a specific goal. For instance, you say, okay, I'm going to save $10,000 for a down payment of a house within the next years by contributing $400 or 400 rands a month to a dedicated savings account.
Yeah.
So in Israel, if you have this problem of I'm going to show them, or you care a lot about what people are going to say, okay, fine. So you want a good house, you want a good car. How about saving for it and doing monthly down payments until you reach your goal, you know, as opposed to just falling into the pressure of things and just following around.
Yeah, we've got literally 30 seconds, and I just want to slot in this one. You know, we've got this thing of hoping and hoping that things will get better. And so we get into these financial transactions and commitments with the hope that, you know, I'm going to get a better job, or next year will be better, and all the sort of stuff. So of these biases, is it the trend FOMO, or what? Why do we even get into such?
So we get into such because I feel we have not also become stable in who we are, you know? And I feel like it's sometimes we have certain voids in us and we think that we are going to fill these voids, you know, by these bandwagon biases. Like, again, you have a fear of missing out. Why are you fearful of missing out?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're going to break a leg if you miss out. But because we have not found our worth in God, we're trying to find our worth in things, trying to find our worth in social validation. That's how we end up in all these gimmicks. You know, a temptation when it comes is not a sin.
Yeah.
But how you respond to it is how it becomes sinful.
How can people follow you, ma'am, once again, for those of our listeners who might have joined a little bit late?
So they can follow me or follow us on Facebook. We are called The Financial Tips Corner. I repeat, The Financial Tips Corner. And they can expect another video coming up on these financial biases. Particularly centering on the festive season and New Year's goals, you know, just to make sure that at the end of the day, we don't find ourselves on the downside of these things. We study ourselves, study ourselves, teach ourselves what approved with men who need not be lacking anything, who are swimming when it comes to financial goals.
Indeed. Fantastic. I'm on that page myself. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us this evening.
Really,
I appreciate it. You and I will talk about my biases. I won't say them on air, you know.
Awesome.
Less people say, yeah, vele sikubonile, we saw you.
Oh, no.
But thank you so much, ma'am.
Lord, you.
Really appreciate it. Have a good one. Of course, that was Lulu talking to us this evening about financial biases. Which ones do you have? It's more than one, two, three. It's a pandemic.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.